Good evening. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. The show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional student and community productions in and around Montreal, the island we also known as Jojage in Ganiagaha and Munayang in Anishinaabe, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I am your host, Sarah De A, recording from home on Thursday, December 15th, 2022. On tonight's show, my guests. Meet Amir Haidar, a Toronto-based performer who has had a connection with the musical Come From Away from its very early days.
My journey with the show started in 2012. When I first immigrated to Canada, I went to Sheridan College in Oakville in Ontario, and my graduating year, they were starting this workshops of new Canadian musicals, and one of the first workshops was Come From Away. So it was the very first workshops that David and Irene, who wrote the show, had ever done. And so I'd known some form of the show since 2012. And then when I got to be a part of the Toronto production in 2017, 2018, up until the pandemic, it was such an incredible experience.
Absolutely charming guest, and I'm eager for you to meet him. Murdoch Chan is a theater maker who is taking up the helm of Artista, an excellent local mentorship program entering its ninth year. They'll tell us how to apply and how they figure out the year's coming cohort.
It's a bit like composing for a choir, right? Like, you don't want a choir of all sopranos. That would be like very intense. You want to have some altos, you want to have some tenors, you want to have the sopranos. Like, it's about finding voices that will harmonize together, rather than sort of one thing in particular.
And I will revisit my conversation last week with Renee Lee, Montreal's Queen of Jazz, as she gears up to perform Dark Divas this weekend at Centaur Theatre. It's about seven iconic Black jazz singers from last century.
They set the platform for vocalists of my nature and the ones that preceded me and the ones that will come after me. They gave us the mantle to continue on, because none of the seven women that I describe in the Dark Divas of performance are similar in performance or lifestyle or just who they were as individuals. But they all had a message that laid the groundwork for vocalists or vocal musicians like myself to tread upon.
I cannot wait to share with you my chat with Amir Haidar. But before we get to that, a reminder that we are giving away tickets to the show that he's performing in, Come From Away. The Canadian Tony-winning musical will be in town January 10th to the 15th in 2023. Oh my gosh, it's a new year in 2 weeks. At Place des Arts at Salle Wilfrid Pelletier. I have tickets to the January 10th show. And as you might recall, this is the tale of the town of Gander, Newfoundland, which played host to some 7,000 air passengers stranded after the attacks on September 11th. The town opened up its resources and heart to the Come From Aways, as they are called, and husband and wife creative team David Hine and Arian Sankoff researched and wove these real stories into the musical. It's also the more remarkable when you consider that before jets became a lot more powerful, Gander was actually a very popular stop-off point for celebrities and people who could afford to fly over the Atlantic Ocean. So they would actually stop, like, let's say from New York or Atlantic City on the way to London or Paris. And so it was kind of like a glamorous little place. But then with air travel changed and adapted over time, the airport itself became not really a destination, let's say. So Irene and David have written all about that and, of course, the events of September 11th and the aftermath of that. Now, if you want to see the show, here's what you have to do. Email your full name and email address to admin@ckut.ca with the answer to this question. What province is Come From Away set in? Get that email in by tonight at 7 p.m., so at the end of the show. And it is one entry per person, and we will draw the winner for those two pairs of passes. For more information on the show itself, you can visit evenco.ca.
Welcome to the land where we lost our loved ones and we said we will still go.
So I just told you about the premise of Come From Away. It's a musical that shares stories about real people from a wide and diverse background. We have a gay male couple, all the way to the tough but kind local reporter, to a barrier-breaking female air pilot. We also have an Egyptian chef who is subject to suspicion because of his country of origin. And there's so much more. The musical itself is enormous. There's 6 male roles and 6 female roles, and everyone's playing different characters. And so you can imagine what a challenge it is to be an understudy or a standby on the production. The person who has to fill in when someone gets sick or has vacation or in case there's an emergency. Amir Haidar is one of those talented and hardworking performers. He estimates that he has to master some 20 accents on this show in order to cover what we call tracks, the different roles that one actor fills. In this upcoming touring production, Amir will cover 5 out of those 6 tracks or male roles. Amir is originally from Lebanon. He came to Canada to study performance in 2009, and he was on the ground floor, let's say, for the development of the musical itself, as you're about to hear. We chatted earlier today about how his passion for mathematics helps him with his work, the characters he relates to the most, what Come From Away means to him as a new Canadian, and how his family feels about his career choices. This is my conversation with Amir Haidar. Welcome, Amir, to Upstage. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So what is this like for you, having been with the original Toronto production and then get to join a joining production like this? I'm curious because I feel like you've really been on a journey with the show.
Actually, it's really funny you ask that. My journey with the show started in 2012. When I first immigrated to Canada, I went to Sheridan College in Oakville in Ontario. And my graduating year, they were starting this workshops of new Canadian musicals. And one of the first workshops was Come From Away. So it was the very first workshops that David and Irene, who wrote the show, had ever done. And so I'd known some form of the show since 2012. And then when I got to be a part of the Toronto production in 2017, 2018, up until the pandemic, it was such an incredible experience. And now to get to do it with a brand new group of people, with a brand new company touring Canada and the US, is just another way to celebrate the show, to do it in so many different ways and iterations with so many people, and to see how far it's come and the audience it's reached is pretty wonderful.
In researching to prepare to speak with you in last week, as we were lining up our giveaway on CKUT, I was interested to see like the first productions were, or the first presentations. The first time anyone got a hand on the show was at Sheridan College. I wasn't sure if that was like normal, that a musical like that might have that in the development process. So that is so fabulous that you go all the way back to that origin point.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, Canadian musicals are picking up steam. They've always been incredible, but they always haven't had the level of advertisement and marketing and showcasing that they've had in more recent years. And Come From Away is one of those rare exceptions, but at the same time, it's opened the doors for so much more work to be showcased and show what Canadian musicals can be a part of.
You just referenced Amir coming to Canada for the first time and being a student. And I want to get to know a little bit about you because you also have an interesting, I guess, career path, because you actually have a degree in mathematics. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. So I was born and raised in Lebanon. And I grew up there. And when I told my parents that I wanted to go and study music theater after high school, they're like, you're not allowed to leave the country before you get a backup degree. And so I went to the American University of Beirut and got a Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics. And then I immigrated to Canada to study music theater at Sheridan, where I graduated in 2012. And then I started, you know, doing the actor thing and hustling and getting jobs and getting work. And I was very lucky that, you know, 5 years into trying to get a career, I got Come From Away. And during that, I've been afforded great privileges of, you know, being able to do my master's degree and being able to study for my PhD while still being able to do the show in its many forms. So I've been very, very fortunate.
Do the people talk about Come From Away like being a very Canadian story, and it is an international story as well, obviously, because there's a terrorism incident that kind of brings all these people from disparate places together in one place. But it's Canadian because it's about opening doors and forging connections. So do you see parallels between the fact that you know that you came from another country to a new place, and here you are getting to be a part of this musical that is about people from different corners of the world?
I absolutely identified so strongly with the show on so many dimensions, this being one of them. The show itself, you know, is about the planes that got grounded in Gander, Newfoundland during 9/11 and the aftermath of that, the few days that followed. The town of Gander is 9,000 people and they accepted 7,000 new people. So their population almost doubled over, like, in within a span of 2 hours. And the show is essentially about how people from all around the world, different places, ethnicities, religions, cultures, sexual orientations, all of that got taken in and were met with kindness. And for me, being able to relate that to my story, having immigrated to Canada and being met with this sort of multicultural, kind, open-hearted place where I am very fortunate now to call home, as well as back home in Lebanon, means a great deal to me. And I sort of, I'm like, I'm a come from away as well. And so it means doubly more to me to be a part of this show and to represent that in the show.
I can't, you just explained that so beautifully. And I'm also touched when I think about how remarkable the musical is, because we meet people from different backgrounds, that we have characters of different extraction, let's say. We have a female airline pilot and we meet a Muslim character. And I was like, I just feel like we don't see these stories so much in big productions, big commercial musicals like that. And that's where the musical also kind of turned the page a little bit.
Absolutely. I think that I want to give credit to David Hein and Irene Sankoff, who wrote the show. There is a great level of diversity and inclusion. And speaking of subject matters that, as you said, are starting to find their footing in musical theater and in theater and in art now in a more mainstream way, whereas before it would be subversive for minorities and people who are marginalized to be at the forefront. But in speaking of a 9/11 story, it was very important when the world and so much energy was so divided and so contentious and potentially so negative, for there to be a story of not just kindness, but inclusion and the lack of caring for people's specific identity factors or identifiers, but more of humanity as a solid framework and community for everybody. And so that's why I think the musical is so, but that's part of why the musical is so beautiful, is because everybody gets an equal slice of the pie.
So well said. Amir Haidar is performing in Come From Away, which is coming to town next month at Place des Arts, Salle Wilfrid Pelletier. And you are a standby. Is that how we say it in the parlance?
Yes.
On standby? A standby?
I am a standby, yes.
Because I'm thinking of airlines, a story about planes getting grounded and how people fly standby. And I just realized that word exists in these two different worlds. So tell me about what that means for you as a performer and how you get integrated into the cast. Is that, how does that work?
So as a standby, I do not perform in the show every night. I am one of six standbys in the production, all of whom are absolutely incredible. And once you come see the show, you'll see the cast is 12 actors, six male, six female, on stage essentially the entire time, each playing more than one character, each doing their own. We move the sets and we do essentially everything on stage. And of these six males or six females, each standby covers five out of the six. And so anytime someone calls out, whether it's because of an illness or a scheduled vacation or an emergency or any sort of reason that they would not be doing the show, we would step in and do that particular track. And so we would need to know not just the lines, but, you know, they all sing different vocal parts. They have different choreography. They have different things that they move and things that they do on stage. It's a very intricate sort of puzzle the show. And so to know five different tracks each is a big puzzle to have in your head with very minimal rehearsal and time on stage. And so a part of what I love about my job is I get to play different characters depending on who I'm going on for and what track I'm going on for. So to have that sort of versatility and to be able to slot into the show and play almost every one of what I could potentially play is pretty wonderful.
We were also talking about diversity there and that all the characters, their passengers, airline crew, to the people on the ground in Gander who are welcoming them in. So I'm mind boggled that you can keep that all together. I mean, obviously that's part of the job, but the show in particular really requires so much. It's accent changes and as you're saying, different choreography. Does that an extra special challenge for you?
Oh, absolutely. I have to give credit to all standbys and understudies and swings in the theater industry and music theater specifically that requires, you know, singing and dancing. They're absolute heroes. And I'm so grateful that I get to be a part and in that company and a part of that community. And it is definitely a very added challenge for two reasons. One, there is so much information to keep in your head and to keep in your body. More or less, and be able to slot in. So for example, there are two actors who play a couple in the show, a gay couple in the show, and I cover both of those tracks. So there are times where I'm just talking to another version of myself on stage because I get to play both of those characters. The other part of what's challenging about it is that one of the comforting elements of being an actor on stage and doing a show 8 shows a week is you get to form muscle memory. And so your body sort of gets used to one way of doing things, the way you move on stage, the choreography, all of that. But as a standby, you don't really get that because in each given moment, you can move one of five different ways. And so it really is a challenge of the mind and a sort of focus and control of the body in the way that you are able to really focus on how you move and how you execute every performance.
That is Amir Haidar, and we're talking about Come From Away. He'll be performing in that this coming January. So you talked about the body, you talked about the relationship that each character has towards one another, but there's also the accents. Can you talk a bit about that? Because the Newfoundland accent in particular, I think is quite challenging. I watched an English cast do a performance, and I was like, oh, these are people from the British Isles, but they're not quite nailing it.
You know, it's fascinating because, you know, people who grew up, when I was a part of the Toronto production, people who grew up in Canada and are Canadian really have an understanding of the nuances of a Newfoundland accent to a certain degree, because they sort of grew up with it in their vernacular. Mm-hmm. As someone who didn't grow up here, I grew up in Lebanon, I did not know that. And so it was quite a bit more challenging for me. But between the five tracks I cover, I do about 20 to 25 accents in the show. And so we have, of course, an incredible accent coach, Joel Goldies, who is fantastic and is so meticulous with the way that he trains us and that he follows up with us and gives us notations over how every accent is done. But to be able to switch between them very quickly, that is a part of the actor's job, but with the degree that it is required in the show, there's a level of nuance that is very important, because as opposed to what, you know, the stereotype can be sometimes of music theater, this show is very grounded in reality. All of the characters in it are based on real people, and the events actually happen. And so one of the brilliant things about the show is that it really gives a sense of realism through the fun, through the tears, through the joy. There is a sense of this actually happened. These are people are real. And so the accents cannot be over the top or caricatures or inaccurate. They need to be very specific. And we're very lucky to have in our company our accent coach and stage managers and resident directors who really work hard with us to make sure that everything is very particular and specific.
Amir, I'm wondering if you have a favorite character out of the five tracks that you're going to be, which doesn't mean five roles, it means more roles than that. But is there any personage that stands out for you that you really relish playing?
I will tell you, the way the show is written, I'm going to give you the diplomatic answer first.
Yeah,
the
way it's fair.
Everybody gets their chance to shine. Everybody has a beautiful arc. Everybody has so much brilliant material that they really are so equal in stepping into them. There are no bigger or smaller parts in the show. Having said that, as a queer immigrant, who grew up, you know, in the Middle East and immigrated to Canada. The Kevin Jay and Others track, which essentially the two main roles that are played here are Kevin Jay, who is a gay New Yorker, and Ali, who is a an Egyptian chef, and sort of dealing with how Muslims and Middle Easterners and Arabs were treated in the aftermath of 9/11. Both those characters together in one track hit home for me because personally, I've experienced some version of both those things. And so there is some personal connection to that when I get to play that particular track, but I'm trying to make that even across the board in all tracks I play.
That's so diplomatic and fair of you. I hope this isn't presumptuous, but that was what I thought you were going to say. I was prepared to be surprised, but I think what you've just said is really so beautiful and links us right back to what people connect with the play so much, is that it represents, as you said, real people with real stories that have been transformed by this experience. When do we get to see you on stage in Montreal?
So in Montreal, you get to see me in the Sunday show. I am very excited that I get to go on. And, you know, it isn't common for standbys to know so much in advance that they're going on, but I am very fortunate that I get to go on the Sunday that we're there. We're there for an entire week. We're there for quite a few performances in that 1 week. So it's pretty condensed, but the Sunday performance I am going on as the boyfriend of the track that I just set. And I actually really love that. There's a song in there that I absolutely love singing. So I'm very fortunate I get to do that.
I'm thinking back to your parents telling you that you had to get your degree before you could go off and study musical theater. And you did get your degree in mathematics back home. And what do they say nowadays, seeing you being so successful on stage and in your career?
Well, you know, they still are wondering when I'm going to use that degree in math. And no, but seriously, you know, what's funny is that I actually get to use it quite a bit in the show. Math helps a lot with being a standby or an understudy because you have to keep track of so much. And there's so many mind games and formulas and puzzle pieces that I have to fit in. So it really has come in handy. I try not to tell them that, though, because I don't want to just do it right. But my mom and my brother and my aunt, who are my like three biggest champions, came to see the show in Toronto when I was on. And it was very emotional to get to have, you know, my family see that show and me being a part of something so monumental. And I'm very excited and I'm very fortunate that they're coming back to see it in Montreal as well.
How fabulous. That's amazing. I was going to say, I need math myself just to keep track of all the roles that you're doing. And then we think back to math and the connection with music, and that you must have been so musical from an early age to be someone who's good enough to get a math degree, right?
Well, I've always been, I have to give credit to my parents and my extended family. My uncle and my mom and my dad and my aunt really grew up loving music and theater. And so I grew up just like a part of all of that. And so musically, theatrically, I was so in love with the magic of it that was where my brain went. And because I really did love math, like I can't, you know, I really, really did love math. And so the parts of that that intersected specifically within music theater, because music is very mathematical, comedy is very mathematical, the staging that we have, because it's so intricate, is so mathematical. So I'm very lucky that I get to do something that has both intersect.
Can't wait to see you in Montreal, Amir. Thank you so much for taking the time to join Upstage.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
That was the gifted Amir Haidar, Toronto-based actor who you can catch on January 15th at Place des Arts for the closing show of the Come From Away run in Montreal. Keep an eye out for his mom and his family. They're very proud people. They're probably going to be cheering the loudest in the audience. Amir might have a degree in math, as we learned, but he also has a BFA in musical theater and is pursuing his PhD at the Center for Drama at the University of Toronto. Amir is a standby on the coming production, and it's going to be in town January 10th to the 15th. You can get your tickets and learn more at eventco.ca or also go to the Place des Arts website. or you could win a pair of tickets. Just a reminder that all you have to do is open up a fresh email, write down your full name, and type out your email address and answer this question with the answer to the question, what province is come from away set in? Send that off to admin@ckut.ca by tonight at 7 o'clock. So at the end of the show, we are looking for one entry per person, and we're going to draw the winner shortly thereafter. Again, for more info on come from away, evenco.ca. I'm Sarah Day, and you are listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. Still to come, I'll revisit some of my conversation with Renee Lee, Montreal's Queen of Jazz, on an absolutely stunning show. Well, it sounds stunning, at least. It's going to be at Centaur this weekend. She's performing Friday and Saturday, and I'm really jazzed to see it. Pardon the pun. There is fresh leadership at Imago Theatre, a Montreal-based feminist theatre company focused on bold art and advocating for more gender-inclusive storytelling. Krista Jackson recently took over from longtime director Micheline Chevrier. Maybe you remember Micheline was on the show as kind of like an outgoing chat last spring, early summer around. Now Krista is artistic and executive director at Imago, and one of Imago's hallmark programs is also under new leadership as it gears up for its 9th season in January. Artista is a free program for women and gender diverse persons aged 16 to 21. It's an excellent opportunity to learn more about the world of theater, as well as to learn about developing storytelling skills and confidence. The deadline to apply is January the 3rd, and the program begins at the end of the month with weekly sessions on Monday evenings. The program was actually recognized a few years back by the peer-juried Montreal English Theatre Awards for its equity, diversity, and inclusion category. Murdoch Sean is the incoming producer of the program, though they go way back to the inaugural cohort of Artista as a script supervisor. Murdoch is a non-binary theater director, educator, and puppeteer, and someone who thinks a lot about creating community and opportunities for work in the Montreal theater scene, making them an ideal person to lead this program, along with the three talented mentors. I spoke with Murdoch yesterday to learn about their leadership and plans for Artista. Welcome to Upstage, Murdoch. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
And congratulations on your new role. How does it feel to be walking into a producer role at Artista?
I mean, it's so fabulous. I have always loved Imago, and I've really been very passionate about the work that they make. And so being invited in, especially under Krista's new leadership, has been really wonderful, just to sort of help the process of like someone getting used to the new city, and also to be back at Artista, because I was a part of the very first cohort.
Which was not that long ago. The program is still kind of in some ways in its infancy. So what year was that? And what was your role in the first, in that inaugural year?
Yeah, so that was back in 2014. And there have been, this is the 9th iteration of Artista. Back then, all those many years ago when I was 21, so I was the script coordinator, which is a position that was only around in the very first year because the program has been like changing and expanding and been very flexible. And basically it was a position where I had this sort of like kind of outside view. I wasn't a mentee, but I also wasn't a mentor, but I got to go to every session. And then at the end, I took the work that everybody had been generating and created a script out of it under the guidance of Joy and Warona, who are the co-founders of the program. And having that access to like seeing a program in its infancy was like really inspiring. Also just to see like people experimenting and seeing what works and how do they create a foundation for people that is brand new. But 9 years or 9 programs later, here I am, I'm the producer of Artista. And I think it's really awesome to be a part of something that I was a part of in its infancy, and now I get to like see it as a kind of teenager.
Yeah, it is. It's evolved, and you're getting to check in on that. So tell me what your role consists of as the producer. Does that kind of translate to boss kind of, or manager?
Not really. I mean, at Imago, we're really interested in sort of horizontal structures of readership. And so we're really experimenting with how do we create opportunities for learning within our, like, our staff and our own practices. So as the producer of this particular thing, of this particular thing is the wrong word, this particular program, my job is really to ensure that the mentors, which there are three co-mentors on the project, and my job is to sort of ensure that they're supported and they have the things that they need. That includes things like looking for spaces that are accessible and usable and in a location that is sort of central. So that's sort of the first thing is space, and also ensuring that they have the support that they need and that there's someone outside of the program and outside of the sessions, because I won't be at all the sessions. So there's sort of an outside eye to catch them when they're like, oh, we're encountering something, we're in the middle of it. And it's just having sort of the outside hand to be able to go, okay, well, I can reflect this back to you.
And I wanted to know, for you, having been in the program, but as part of kind of like the structure and the staff, and you weren't a mentee and you weren't a mentor, what kind of perspective is that going to bring for you as the producer?
Well, I think I've been thinking a lot about what we're aiming for in the project. I mean, it's been like, I guess if I was 21 and I'm turning 30 next month, it's been, you know, 9 years that I've been sort of thinking about this program. And so really trying to imagine like what do we want to do with the program? Obviously, we're trying to create a space for young people to find their artistic identity and through that to like empower their voices. But like, what is the specific way that we want that to happen? How do we create a community like that? And then also, how do we continue to engage with that community? Last night, we had our very first Imago Sangha set, in which we had a number of participants from past artistas. So the last year and then the previous couple of years as well, they came back. It was like an open door policy. And so a lot of different people from the community came, but we were really struck by the fact that the artista folks came back and wanted to talk about their experience and wanted to reflect back the joy that they had found in the community and that they were still wanting to engage with Imago. And so I think that's kind of what I bring, is this idea of like, how do we continue to engage with these folks once they've gone through the program?
It's almost like an alumni circle or club where you've got that resource, you've got that networking, and the people who've also left are possibly also looking for more opportunities and have projects to share as well. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating network, basically.
Totally. And I think like that's I think that's something that I've been reflecting on in the last couple of years since Artista, is like Montreal is positioned in a really interesting way that we have so many theater schools, but we often lose a lot of our talent to places like Toronto, to the, like, just people leave Montreal. And so the question of like, how do you get people to stay is something that I've been really thinking about. Because it's hard. It's hard to lose our talent, like to lose a lot of the talent pool. Because we end up with a sort of like young generation where you have like gaps. And so trying to figure out how do you get people to stay is really a question of how do you build community and build a practice where people can stay.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Murdoch Sean, and they are the new artistic producer at Artista. And applications are now open, closing January 3rd for people who want to participate in this free mentorship program. Now, mentorship exists in every single industry. You could be just doing just about anything and find someone to help steward you through the next phase of your career. But why would this program be so important for theater makers and young ones at that? Because this is ages 16 to 21.
Yeah, well, I think 16 to 21, speaking from my experience only, but in my 16 to 21 years, I was really trying to like carve out a place for myself, but also like myself in general. I was looking for how I like, what is my identity? What is my voice? And I think that opportunities like this that can empower young people to like ask themselves, what is their place in their community? What is their role? How do they serve the community? And how does a community serve them? I think these are like really important questions for young people to feel like they're engaged. Imago's target audience, our main audience, is 20 to 35. And so in some ways, having access to young voices is really vital for us to being able to keep in touch with the younger generation. And so I really think there's something really fascinating about the kind of what we imagine as two-way mentorship. And so it's having building a space and community for young people to come and to discover themselves, but also for the mentors to continually learn from young people and keep in touch with the sort of vitality and voice of young art making.
Murdoch, can you tell me about the three mentors who are on board for this year?
Yeah, so our three mentors this year are Gabe Maharjan, who is a writer, actor, translator, director, dramaturge, Anne-Marie Sayeb, who is a French-Canadian Egyptian actor, and Julie Tomiko Manning, an actor and theater creator. And they've all been basing their practices in Montreal. They're all deeply involved in the community. And this year, we really wanted to focus on what the experience of Artista is, and trying to sort of ask the question of, like, is this just for actors, or can this also be for other types of creators as well? In, like, for example, like playwrights, or like, yeah, what is the possibility for moving forward with the program?
Oh, that's so interesting. Well, that will broaden the kind of quality of people, that not quality, but it'll broaden certainly the pool of candidates who come through and kind of change the conversation a bit. Now, what are you looking for, Murdoch, in the ideal candidate? I suppose there's not one ideal candidate, obviously, but what are you looking for in your applications?
Yeah, so building a cohort is really about putting together a group of people that we think are going to work well together. Work well together is sort of a funny term because it can mean many things, especially in a mentorship. Sometimes it means that we're looking for people who are going to sort of push the envelope and ask big questions, which I think is like what I'm really looking for, is I'm looking for people who aren't afraid to ask questions. And sometimes it also means that we're like looking for people who can just work well with each other. Yeah, putting together a cohort is tricky. I mean, there's so many young, talented people in the community, and we only have so many spots. So really, it's just about trying to find what is the cohort that we think is going to like work together in the best way possible. So it's a bit like composing for a choir, right? Like, you don't want a choir of all sopranos. That would be like very intense. You want to have some altos, you want to have some tenors, you want to have the sopranos. Like, it's about finding voices that will harmonize together rather than sort of one thing in particular. But I would say that like we're looking for people who are engaging with their communities, who are curious, and people who, yeah, just want to ask questions and learn.
Yeah, I love that analogy of the choir, because you need those diverse voices to have that kind of cohesive, beautiful music. What kind of commitment does it consist of? What is the participant expected to do or commit to?
Yeah, so Artista runs from like late January. January 30th, our first session starts. The sessions are every Monday from 5 to 9 o'clock. And they come on down. The night starts with a free shared dinner in which participants can connect with each other. And then there'll be some workshops. So after dinner, there'll be some like time to sort of settle in, and then there'll be sort of a working session around a kind of different topic each week, or a different lesson plan each week. They'll meet with the three main mentors, Gabe, Anne-Marie, and Julie. So then in the spring, there's an outcome, and the participants are often asked to sort of generate material throughout these workshop sessions. And then that material is sewn into a outcome, and we bring in community members and also visiting guest artists to be a part of that process, and then also watch as they take to the stage and they celebrate their voices.
It's such a fabulous opportunity for young artists. Like, again, cannot underscore, age 16 to 21. Some kids don't even have programs in high school that kind of feed and nurture that performance, or as you're looking into the behind the scenes roles as well, writing, for example, or directing. So this is such a fabulous opportunity. What are you most looking forward to as the incoming producer in terms of what you're going to get out of it?
I think something I'm really looking forward to is I really love engaging with the creativity of like young folks. There's such a like wonder and also curiosity and also just a passion for equality and a lot of like issues-based questions, which I think are so important to the fabric of any community. So I'm really looking forward to meeting the participants, getting a chance to understand where they're coming from, what are the things that make them tick, and then also getting to see how they grow. I feel like it's such a wonderful opportunity to just see like over a couple, you know, over the winter to spring session, like how do people grow? And I love that.
You sound so genuinely excited about this, and I'm excited just hearing from you. Murdoch, congratulations on this new role, and thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about Artista.
Well, thank you so much.
That was Murdoch Sean, the new producer of Artista Imago Theater's mentorship program. This is who they are looking for, women and gender diverse people interested in the theater aged 16 to 21. Applications are open until January the 3rd, and the first session begins at the end of January and continues until May. The mentees learn a lot about storytelling, theater, collaboration, and self-confidence, and they work their way to a public performance at the end of the program. To apply and learn more, visit imagotheater.ca and look up Artista, A-R-T-I-S-T-A. I'm Sarah DeA. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, coming to you from my home yet again this week. And now to close out the show, I'd like to play for you part of my conversation last week with Montreal's Queen of Jazz, Renee Lee, not just a singer, but also an educator, a writer, as well as an actress. A couple of years back, 1997 to be exact, Renee started working on Dark Divas, which was an homage to Billie Holiday and six other Black female jazz singers of the past century. The connection to Billie Holiday is pretty important because one of Renee's earliest roles was actually playing Billie in the biographical musical Lady Day, for which she won a Dora Maver Moore Award back in 1970. So she looked at all these seven singers, including Josephine Baker, Pearl Bailey, Lena Horn, Dinah Washington, Ella Fitzgerald, and Sarah Vaughan. And she says all seven of them changed music and entertainment and also divide conventions by telling their own stories to their audiences. And also, they were all women of color, trailblazing at a time when it was so difficult to do so. They also served as inspiration for a young Renee Lee. She's getting ready to perform that play that she first started writing back in the late 90s. It's coming in for two nights at Centaur Theater, Friday evening, December 16th, as well as Saturday, the 17th, centaurtheater.ca. This is my conversation with Renee Lee from last week. I know at this point in your career, like it's a given that you are an entertainment success story, but you know, was there a moment where you realized, oh, I'm going to really make a go of this. Like I'm going to be able to make it.
I still feel that way. I don't wear a crown of any distinction of that nature because it took many years and many sacrifices and a lot of work and to know what I was doing finally. And then there's always the next day to sort of question what I was doing. So I think I'm on a journey. And the journey's not over. And it began very early, and I'm still processing things.
Still processing, even after all these years. And when you have your students, and they obviously must turn to you for advice in particular situations or just general career wisdom, do you ever just say, like, I'm still figuring it out myself?
No, I don't go. I'm paid to be an expert. But, you know, I try to deal in reality and honesty. And if a student has a particular, you know, question or a query or a misunderstanding or not understanding, then I try to wear the hat of my experience, as well as being a mother, and as well as being, you know, an artist, and roll all that together, because in some ways that equals who I am, and I can only speak from that perspective. So, yeah, the honesty and the sharing is a high level procedure in my work with students or anybody in my life, I hope, you know, even when I'm on stage. So that's the way it is.
I was about to ask about honesty on stage when you were singing. How does that play into, you know, the stories you're telling to your audience?
And that's one of the topics that when, you know, we're describing what a lyric means, is that you should live your lyric. I mean, a million lyrics won't necessarily describe an individual, but that's when you take, if you've taken on the mantle to sort of be a performer and you feel the necessity to entertain, well, then there are things that you have to do in order to describe, especially our instrument. I call singers vocal instruments. Yes, vocal instruments. But our voice and the language of our instrument is what reaches the audience, because everyone has a voice in some respect, right? And so the telling of the story, whether it's lyrically or melodically or rhythmically, is essential. And just finding yourself within that story is very important. So when I'm performing, if I'm singing something about a meadow like Skylark, I actually feel I feel where I am, and I want my audience to feel what I feel. So, but that took a long time to reach that plateau.
I imagine that when you're starting out as a young singer, you're kind of, there's a certain amount of vamping, maybe, like you've heard something before and you want to make it sound like whatever diva came before you, but then eventually you do find your way to, how do I tell this particular lyric story in my way?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I thought I was Dinah Washington and Nancy Wilson for the first 5 years of my career. And that sort of played that emulation of that, you know, finding their voice within my voice would not do me the service that I was looking to. I didn't know I was looking for that service, but eventually I wanted to sound like me, because how long can you go and be the puppeteer of your icons, right? And I found that it was helpful in the beginning, but because it gave me a platform to work from. But it's essential, because we're all told, you know, from our families and our best friends, oh, you sound so good, you're a good singer. And we take that. But in the meantime, we've just sang the same thing somebody else sang. And in jazz, in particular jazz, the uniqueness of a vocalist is what you bring to the material, what you bring to the performance and the arrangements. And it should not be the same thing, because we don't feel the same way every day. So it should feel what you're feeling at the moment. And always aware of the fact that you're playing a part in the music world, and your voice is an instrument.
I love where we're going with this, because we're going to continue in that thread, but I'll just remind you, you're listening to Renee Lee, Juno Award-winning jazz singer, absolute icon, performing a wonderful show at the Centaur next week, Dark Divas. So you've brought up, you know, what it is to sing the greats, that, you know, for the first couple of years, you felt like you were Dinah Washington yourself. So putting on a show like this, where you're doing covers, and I do want to talk about the process of developing the show eventually, but singing these songs sung by the greats, women who were not just wonderful musicians, but and historical figures too. So what does that take out of you to, you know, make each song an homage, but also something from Renee?
Exactly. You know, I was fortunate enough to grow up having firsthand information of either seeing them perform or hearing them live, and the description of what they did was never the same each time, but it was their performance. And so I was drawn to that. And I think that was my first introduction to feeling that this is what I wanted to do at a very, very early age. Because, you know, I was from a generation of the pop and the rock and the rhythm and blues, but jazz always had a very stimulating effect on me when I listened. It was the music that was played in the home, of course. But as far as the performance of these icons, these giants of music, they set the platform for vocalists of my nature and the ones that preceded me and the ones that will come after me. They gave us the mantle to continue on, because none of the seven women that I describe in the Dark Divas of performance are similar in performance or lifestyle or just who they were as individuals. But they all had a message that laid the groundwork for vocalists or vocal musicians like myself to tread upon. And I, in the play, because I initially wrote this as a play many years ago, and I took on the character of each. So in doing that, it was also the characterization of the voice or the style. Over the years, I bring the essence of, I try to bring the essence of each diva, but I still interpret it in the way that I've come through my journey as a vocal musician. So there's, you know, there'll always be a bit of them in me anyway. It feels like some sort of historic DNA, but I know that Renee Lee is not Sarah Vaughan, you know, and we've got our parallel roads to travel. And I think the music itself does stand on its own. So it doesn't matter if it's Sarah or Renee or Mary Jane or Sarah, you know, it's being sung, it's being performed. It's a reminiscence of an era that I would imagine a lot of my older audiences will be able to identify, and the younger ones will sort of either have a memory of it or will be newly introduced to great music.
That is the voice of Renee Lee, award-winning jazz singer. The women are, it's an incredible list of women that you're emulating here. Josephine Baker, Billie Holiday, Lena Horne, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, who you mentioned there a few times. Is there one in particular maybe you could unpack a little bit of her history and maybe share moments that you think have marked you from their careers and their personal lives?
Not necessarily an individual aspect of each life, because I mean, I've never lived their life. You know, I haven't the experience of some of the maniacal things that they had to go through.
Yeah.
I journeyed the road, but it was never under those kind of conditions, you know. And those were times the Jim Crow era and things that were happening that sort of, you know, diminished them as people in other eyes, but never them as women. You know, they were strong and they were feisty and they made it through a major journey. But I think the reason why I chose these seven, and of course there are 100 others that I could have chosen, but the reason why they struck me, because they embody pieces of what I want to bring to my audience. Mm-hmm. As the vocalist, as the vocal performer. And it's not so much their characterization as, you know, their struggles, but from the entertainer's perspective. But I'll never not be able to keep in mind what they went through and smooth out the journey for myself and others, as I said previously. But it's not to say that it did not exist, it does not exist, it will not exist. It's there. But what's the precedence? You know, and I had a very strong and wonderful mother mentor. My mom was a fantastic, at one time later in my youth, she was a single mom. And she gave me every advantage to become who I am today and what it is I do. And because I respect her, because she respected herself, it's a sort of seamless circle. So I use the identity of the women that we've already mentioned in Dark Divas. And again, I say there are hundreds of others. but I use the example of their struggle and the I guess the life that they had to go through because we knew no better. But today, I ride on their trail, their wonderful adventurous trail through life and through music that affords me to be able to celebrate who they are. And I say they are because they still live.
Well, they live on in our memory, in our collective memories, right?
All you got to do is buy a Sarah Vaughan album too. Yeah. They're there to be, you know, to be part of your listening and dining adventures too. So,
and the way people still talk about Josephine Baker and Billie Holiday and Strange Fruit, for example, like their actions live on because people love telling the stories over and over again, whether to each other or in documentary format. Like they're still with us in that way.
Yes. I mean, you know, it's not to say I would never venture to say the struggle doesn't exist or continues. I mean, it's just variations of form and who the individual, the personality of the person is, right? But and I think each woman, especially Josephine and Billie, like you say, there was more to them than that. That was the foundation of why they felt, oh yeah, no, that'll never be. And they'll, you know, they struggle through that. And at the end of the day, in 2022-23, we're still talking about them.
Renee Lee, Montreal's Queen of Jazz. And we're closing out with Billie Holiday's Summertime. Such a beautiful song. I cannot wait to see Renee perform that this weekend. She is doing Dark Divas at Centaur Theater Friday, December the 16th and Saturday, December the 17th. If you'd like to win tickets, I'd be happy to oblige. We're also going to give away passes to the show this coming weekend. You can choose Friday or Saturday. I'd like for you to email elwa@centaurtheater.com. That is ELWA@centaurtheater.com for tickets on the Friday or the Saturday. You can also buy your tickets and find out more information at centaurtheater.ca. Renee also put out an album this year, a cover of Celine Dion's songs called Because You Loved Me. So if you'd like to get more on Renee, that's her 13th studio album. What a career so far. Renee performs this weekend at Centaur. You have been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. Tonight you heard my guests, Amir Haydar, who is a standby in the coming production of Come From Away, beginning January 10th and running until the 15th. He will be on stage for the Sunday, the 15th show at Place des Arts. Tickets at evenco.ca. Or you can win them. I'll repeat our contest details in just a moment. Our contest window is about to close. We also heard from Murdoch Sean, the new producer of the Artista Mentorship Program for women and non-binary artists or gender diverse artists aged 16 to 21. They are now taking applications up until January 3rd. More info at imagotheater.ca. And that last interview of the hour was part of my conversation last week with Renee Lee, the Montreal Queen of Jazz. She's getting ready to perform at Centaur Theater tomorrow night with Dark Divas. She's also be on stage Saturday, December the 17th, and this is a show that's all about the seven talented women jazz singers who changed the art and the form forever. CentaurTheater.ca. If you're looking for something else to do this weekend, there's a new interpretation of Ovid's massive Metamorphoses, epic poem collection of 15 books, all about transformation and romance and not so great romance. But it just started out at Monument National, co-directed by Ida Holmes. It is by the graduating class of the National Theatre School. They perform tonight, Friday, and Saturday afternoon. Tickets are free, but you'll want to reserve in advance at ent-nts.ca. Donations are accepted. And a reminder, we are giving away tickets to see the award-winning musical Come From Away next month, January 10th, 2023, at Place des Arts. Here's what you have to do. Email your full name and email address to admin@ckut.ca with the answer to this question. What province is Come From Away set in? Looking for the province that the story is set in. So you'll want to send that email off in the next couple of minutes. The contest will close at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be doing a draw for the winners. Please, one entry per person. person. For more information, you can visit evanco.ca. Good luck on the contest. A very big thank you to my guest tonight, and thank you for tuning in. And a big thanks to Jack Solar, our spoken word coordinator, for making sure the show gets to air. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at ckut.ca under the archives. We also have a brand new spanking page up at ckut.ca, so take a look at that. You can follow us up for updates, images of our guests, and more at Instagram at UpstageCKUT. So on Instagram at UpstageCKUT. I am your host, Sarah Day. Next week on Upstage, you can hear our 2020 version of A Christmas Carol. Local improvisers James McGee, Mark Rowland, Monica Schneider, Jason Grimmer, and more. And myself, of course. I hope you can tune in at 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Happy Hanukkah. Starts the Sunday evening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Have fun and stay safe. Up next is Gray Matters with my friend, Fortner Anderson.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Good evening and welcome to the December 15th edition of Gray Matters. Tonight on the show, we have a lecture by Marie Ranjbar entitled Iran, Zan, Zendegi, Azadi, Women, Life, Freedom. It was recorded in Boulder, Colorado on November 18th of this year. In this lecture, Marie Ranjbar is interviewed by David Barsamian. She is an assistant professor in the Department of Women's and Gender Studies at the University of Colorado Boulder. Her research examines social movements in Iran and integrates feminist political geography with critical human rights and decolonial feminist theory. So, without further ado, here's tonight's lecture, Marie Ranjbar and Women, Life, Freedom, Iran.
Even if we think about the anti-compulsory hijab protests, it would have been very easy for the regime to loosen some of those restrictions or to rein in the quote-unquote morality police. But instead,